Thank you for joining us today on this Food Friday on Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in program. I'm Brian Shields in for Ray Graff. A beer connoisseur is in our studio today, ready to talk with you about what else? Beer, all about Bock, lager, stouts, ales, the complexities of each, and why that glass of suds tastes so darn good, especially in this hot weather. We can also get into the latest beer news and latest beer events. Greg Shanice is here. He's the marketing director at the Schmaltz Brewery in Clifton Park. We welcome your questions as well. Any questions you may have for the beer expert that you've always wanted to answer, here's your chance. The number to call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. But you can also comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, and you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the phone number, 800-348-2551. It's 800-348-2551. It's Beer Day on Food Friday. And Greg, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, not a problem. Glad to be here.
And congratulations. Your company won the best double IPA in New York State a few weeks ago at Tap New York. It's the, which one was it?
That is the Wishbone Double, what we call the Session Double IPA.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a play on words where, you know, people hear the word session and they think, oh, this is so smooth and so drinkable, this is so easy. But then we put double IPA under it, which doesn't really happen that much.
Yeah.
So, and, oh, I'm sorry.
No, I've heard that word session. What does that mean?
So session really just means that it's something you could sit down and drink a couple of. I think a lot of the times craft beer has that stigma of, oh, I can only have one, and then, you know, I got to stop because it's such a high alcohol content. So when you see the word session, a lot of times people think it's a little bit lower in the ABV. It's a little bit smoother of something to drink, where the Wishbone Session Double IPA is down and down a double IPA. It is a full-flavored, full-bodied, 8% alcohol double IPA, but we put the word session on there because it might be one of the smoothest IPAs you can find. A lot of times a double IPA will have a very heavy hop note onto it, where to the point where it'd be really bitter and some people might be turned away from it. Where this beer actually is incredibly smooth. And we actually had somebody write a review about it in a story context where they brought a case of it to a family reunion because they saw the word session.
Uh-huh.
So they're like, oh, well, this would be great. We can have a couple of them. We can just relax. My grandfather's going to be there.
And the family was fighting by the end of it, were they?
Well, no? they actually thought they were sick.
Yeah.
So they drank a couple of them, and they were like, this is so great. How smooth is this? Wonderful. Stood up.
Uh-oh.
And they were like, oh, something's wrong. I'm feeling a little off. And they actually thought there was something wrong until they realized, oh, this is a double IPA.
Yeah.
So it's actually so smooth that it actually tricked people.
ABV.
Yeah. It's the alcohol content of a beer.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of non-craft beers, like a Budweiser, Core, stuff like that, you'll see it around high threes, low fours. It just means how much alcohol is in the beer that you're consuming in the portion that's in there. A lot of craft beers, they usually hover around mid to high fives, sort of like an IPA or a lager, and then it goes up from there. But really, ABV just means the alcohol content that is in beer.
And this has almost a whiskey taste to it. I don't know if that's what I'm... A darker...
Yeah,
more,
I mean, it's definitely a dark beer.
Not
it's,
whiskey, but it's
no,
got a... It kind of has a little burn going down.
Yeah, so... you know, like I said, a lot of double IPAs, it's that hop note that you're going to taste first. This was made with a maltier backbone. So it's a little, that's where that smoothness comes in. That's probably what you're tasting, is a little bit more of the malt notes that are in the beer rather than the hop notes that are in there. One of the things that we very much pride ourselves on at Schmaltz is our brewers are absolutely fantastic, and they come up with really unique ways to present typical traditional style beers. And same thing with this double IPA. It's, you know, like I said, there's not that heavy hop taste right in the beginning. It's there, don't get me wrong,
right?
But it's not something that'll turn somebody off who's like, you know, I really don't like a very hoppy beer or anything like that. Between this Wishbone, which is our double IPA, and even our triple IPA, which is called She Brew, neither one has that really heavy upfront hop characteristic that tends to turn people off from really trying to get into it.
800-348-2551. It's 800-348-2551. We're talking beer today with Greg Shanice, marketing director at the Schmaltz Brewery in Clifton Park, New York. Again, 800-348-2551. Seasonal brews. We've got the summer, the autumn, the winters, the springs. How do you decide what makes a good seasonal brew? I mean, often the summer ales are often lighter. Yeah. The stuff in the winter is often heavier.
Yeah, traditionally, you are correct. We tend to throw monkeys into the wrench at Schmaltz. We actually just last week released a beer called Hanukkah in Kentucky in July.
Okay.
What's
the story of that? I mean, we have to hear that.
Yeah. So every year for the holiday season, we make a holiday beer called Hanukkah, Pass the Beer. We are a certified kosher brewery. We make kosher beers. We have a lot of Jewish tradition within the brewery itself. So rather than having a Christmas beer, we have a Hanukkah beer.
Okay.
So every holiday season, we put that out. Well, at the end of the season, we take what's left over and we age that beer in Jim Beam and Heaven Hill bourbon barrels that we have at the brewery. And we let them age for almost a year, and then we actually bottle it or keg it, and we serve it during Hanukkah in July rather than Christmas in July. Why can't there be a Hanukkah in July? And
what does that Jim Beam barrel do?
So what it does, it ages it. The flavor notes that are within the barrel itself from being used by Jim Beam for their bourbon actually infuses into the beer. I actually brought some with me today if you wanted to give it a taste so you can actually see exactly what it is. That was a nice sound. But it's a very, very different kind of flavor note. It's a very dark beer. It is a double dark ale that is aged. So what you'll taste is the actual bourbon from those barrels. It's a very unique flavor.
Yeah.
And definitely not something that you'd consider traditionally summer.
Now, I mentioned the other beer was more like whiskey. This one's more like whiskey. Yeah.
This one, very much you taste that bourbon feel. But there's also all of the fantastic characteristics that were in the original Hanukkah beer.
Now, I know there's an ad for one of the whiskeys that they say the whiskey goes into the wood.
Mm-hmm.
And then it
Devil's
kinda,
cut.
Yeah, the devil's cut.
Yes.
So that's what you're doing? It's coming back out of the wood into your beer?
Yeah, basically, I mean, that's the simplistic way of looking at it. It's when you're doing distilled products, when you're using barrels, some of the liquid does seep into the barrels. I mean, it does happen.
Yeah.
So breweries, you know, we have well over 100 barrels in our facility, but other breweries around the country are doing this now, too. We actually purchase the barrels that they're no longer going to be using, and we actually age our beers in them, some of them. Not all of our beers are aged in them, but it really gives it very unique characteristics. Currently in our brewery, we actually have bourbon barrels, which were used for this one, but we have rye whiskey barrels, traditional whiskey barrels, different wine barrels, tequila barrels, and they also have souring barrels where we'd make a soured barrel-aged beer called Funky Jubilation. And you have to really be ready. You have to be ready for something very unique when you grab something called Funky Jubilation.
How did the whole Jewish-Hebrew theme come to this company?
It actually started with our founder, Jeremy Cowan. He's Jewish, and it actually started as a joke. He was sitting around with his friends in San Francisco at the time, and he said, wouldn't it be funny if we started a brewery based on some traditional Jewish values and called it Hebrew? Like, wouldn't that just be a sketch? And lo and behold, 20 years later,
it worked.
Here we are.
Yeah. 800-348-2551, the number to call. It's 800-348-2551. This question could probably take up the rest of the show, but where did all this, how did this whole craft beer thing just explode over the past 20 years? I mean, what, it used to be you'd go into the supermarket, there'd be the usual big names, Bud, Miller, et cetera. We know them all. And then all of a sudden, I guess maybe 10, 20 years, it's just amazing.
So if you go back that 10, 20 years, what you're really looking at is Sierra Nevada, which is out of California,
right. Mm-hmm.
And Sam Adams,
exactly.
Out of Boston. Those two were really some of the first craft breweries to really blow up on the main scene, where people realize, oh, I have an alternative to some of the more traditional styles. Oh, how unique is this? Oh, what's an IPA? Because at the time, you got to think, it's all lagers. It's all lagers, yep. And pale ales and stuff like that, cream ales. People weren't traditionally trying something a little bit more unique, but people's palates were changing. People's
yeah.
ideas of what beer could be were starting to shift a little bit. So you look at those two breweries, how they started things up, and then, you know, it starts to ripple out. It's that ripple effect. It's, oh, well, they tried this. I wonder if I could try this. And the one thing that's been great about the craft beer industry is that everybody's willing to share knowledge and to give advice and to help out however they can. So that's not something that happens in traditional
no.
industries. But the craft beer industry, I mean, we do collaborations with breweries like Terrapin. And whenever we have large events at our brewery, we invite the region's craft brewers to come down and join us. And it's not to be like, look what we're doing. It's to be like, come see what else is happening
right.
in our region.
Right.
And that's been that way since the beginning.
I mean, all boats are lifted, I guess.
And that's the thing. It's
yeah.
it's really an industry that understands that philosophy and realizes that we don't have to do this alone. You know, in mm-hmm. the grand scheme, craft beer isn't that big of a segment in the total beer purchasing world.
Right.
We're creeping.
Yeah.
We're getting there. You're
yeah.
seeing some people starting to get scared by it.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme, we're still just kind of fighting along. We're trying to, you know, shoot our slingshot right at the Goliaths. So we're the little David just trying to get there. It's just, it's an amazing industry just to kind of see what it actually does when you actually work together, when you understand that that's how business should be done in general. If you can work together, if you can find a symbiotic way to actually coexist, a lot of great things can happen. I mean, just look what's happened here in the Capital District.
Right.
I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of fantastic breweries, and not just breweries, wineries, distilleries, and cideries that have opened up in the Capital District over the last about 5 years.
And you'll see each other's products at these.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we contact each other. If we have a question, if we have a need, if we have anything, it's not like, oh, don't you dare call me. Don't you dare try to help out. It's mm-hmm. what can I do? Where can I be of a service to you? It's absolutely fantastic.
800-348-2551. We'll take some calls in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from the Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz, an undergraduate theater program in liberal arts with concentrations in design and technology, theater studies, and performance. newpaltz.edu/theatre. Big Y, family-owned and operated market, with 4 locations in the Berkshires, celebrating 80 years of serving communities throughout New England. BigY.com. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in the Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts. Open Tuesday through Sunday at 5, featuring outdoor dining on the patio and front porch throughout the summer. BlueHeronDining.com. River Valley Co-op, Northampton, Massachusetts. A food co-op featuring fresh local foods, a deli department with made-to-order sandwiches, a soup and salad bar, and a bakery. RiverValley.coop. And Windy Hill Farm Nursery, Orchard and Garden Shop, Great Barrington, offering hosta, fern, snake root, ligularia, heuchera, and a stilbe for summer, woodland, and shade gardens. WindyHillFarm.com.
The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Greg Shanice is the marketing director at the Schmaltz Brewery in Clifton Park, New York. We're talking beer today on Food Friday. Food Friday beer, 800-348-2551. Before we get to the calls, you just mentioned that some of the big boys are getting a little nervous. And not to be a conspiracy theorist
yeah.
here, but are they trying to stomp some of these little guys out?
Not so much. I wouldn't say they're trying to stomp us out. I think that we make them nervous.
I mean, would they go to a distributor? You know, I don't want you guys taking their beer when you're taking our beer.
Yes and no. I mean, we, our local distributor here in the Capital Region is Saratoga Eagle, and they've been a real big help and support to us getting into places like Price Choppers and other locations throughout the Capital District and beyond. So, you know, the distribution angle doesn't seem to be an issue. It's just, you know, you can see, you'll hear stories about them purchasing other craft breweries as a way to kind of get their foot into that market. And you can definitely tell over the last, just look at the last two Super Bowls, where very expensive ads were made. They were, let's say they're veiled, quote unquote.
I don't think it's very veiled. Budweiser pretty much said only sissies drink craft beer, pretty much. Yeah,
I'm being very political. But let's say they're veiled, not threats, but kind of a, oh, why are you drinking that? You don't have to debate your beer. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be complex. You could just relax and enjoy it. And it's like, well, you could.
Yeah.
But it's not always the best.
No, just hold your nose and drink it.
Exactly.
All right. Let's talk to Cliff in Kingston. Cliff.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good.
Listen, my question was about, does Schmaltz Brewing do like a Passover brew or not?
We don't do a Passover brew.
Why?
But like I said, we do have the Hanukkah, pass the beer.
I got to try that.
Yeah, it really is fantastic. If you like dark ales.
I do.
Yeah, it's very.
Porters and stouts.
Ah, perfect. So, yeah, you'd absolutely enjoy
healthier.
It. Sure.
And the other one was you use like Jim Beam bourbon.
Yeah.
Well, this past Tuesday, I was at a local place that has like a wing night, and on their beer menu, they had this one beer that was done in wild turkey barrel.
Oh yeah. Yeah, a lot of breweries are using different barreling agents just to give a different flavor to their beers.
And it was delicious. I actually started getting a buzz from the the porter.
Okay. Well, thanks you for calling, Cliff. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Let's see. Mike is in Austerlitz. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I had a question about the beer with an – normally a higher alcohol content has a sweeter flavor to the beer.
Mm-hmm.
What would be some beers that would be more or less sweet and still have a higher alcohol content?
Honestly, I would actually look at some of the – find a beer that has some of the barrel aging into it. Beers that have sat around a little bit more, particularly craft beers, that tends to just up the alcohol content just because it ages just like a wine does or a whiskey or a scotch. So if you're looking for something I'm sorry.
Does that reduce then? Is that because it reduces or condenses, or is it just a process of aging that causes the alcohol content to rise?
Yeah, it settles. The ingredients within it do change over time as you have it sit. As long as you have a craft beer in a dry, dark, cool place, you can age beers for a while. We actually just bottled this week our Reunion Ale 2016 version. This is the sixth year we've done it. We opened a bottle of the one we did in 2012, same exact recipe, but completely different flavor notes just because the ingredients had melded together and it had settled a little bit and it made a much smoother taste.
What would be one of your labels that you're putting out on the market now that would have like a higher alcohol content but not have the sweet flavor of a traditional higher alcohol content brew?
I would actually look at that Reunion Ale. It's actually got more of a spice note onto it rather than a sweet note, but it's coming in at about 8%.
Okay, that sounds good. I'll try that.
Thank you very much. 800-348-2551. And you mentioned it earlier in the program. Craft beer usually comes with a little bit more of a kick to it.
Yeah.
It's not your dad's supermarket beer that I used to keep in the fridge.
Yep.
It's so you got to be careful.
You do. I mean, it's always drink responsibly. Know what your limits are. Realize what you're drinking. Even our IPA, which is absolutely fantastic, it's 6.7%. I mean, that's a relatively aggressive alcohol content for a beer, for just a standard IPA. But, you know, like we talked about, craft beer typically has a little bit of a higher ABV onto it. So just always be careful. Always realize where you are. If you've been sitting for a while, just keep drinking it. Stand up for a second. Mm-hmm. See how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, we want people to enjoy the brews that we make, but we definitely want people to drink responsibly.
And I noticed a lot of the restaurants that have an extensive craft beer will put on the menu the APV, the ABV, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
To me, that's something you have to have that on. You have to let people know, you know, what they're getting into. The more description, the better. Just because in this day and age, with some people having those gluten intolerances and other kind of issues with different this, that, and the other from a dietary standpoint, you want to know what's in it as much as you can.
Do you have to put it on the label? Is that a law?
You got to put the APV.
Yeah,
yes.
On the label.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. 800-348-2551. Let's go to Northampton. Michael.
Hi. I've got a question regarding genuine Pilsner beer.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm asking is that I'm very sensitive to gout. And I've discovered that Pilsner is low in purine, and I don't know why Pilsner would be so different from other beers that are brewed.
I mean, all beers come with a different style, you know, so each one is brewed in a different way. They use different ingredients.
Pilsner has more wheat, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure on that Pilsner side of why it would have that effect. Our brewers would absolutely know. But it's, you know, you'll find that with any kind of beer. Every beer's got some of the base ingredients. Hops, barley, wheat, same thing all across the board. They're going to have different ratios of each. They're going to have different flavors on top of those, different kinds of barley, different kinds of hops. So it doesn't shock me that a Pilsner or any other kind of beer might have some kind of effect from a health standpoint, particularly something like what you're dealing with.
Right.
But yeah, I'm not exactly sure why it would be the Pilsner and not something like a light lager or something of a similar vein of brews that would cause that.
Well, I used to drink like Guinness or really dark local beers, and I can't drink those anymore. So, and then I found out that a Pilsner. So when I find a genuine Pilsner, And I don't have any repercussions.
I will say, if you do like finding local, there are local breweries around that do make high quality Pilsners.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in the Capital District of New York, you know, we don't make one ourselves, but our friends up at Paradox Brewing, which is in Shroon Lake, absolutely do.
Okay. Well, I'll keep my eye open. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you very much for calling. It's 800-348-2551 today on Vox Pop to the city of Amsterdam. And Nancy.
Hi. I have a question. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit slow on the whole craft beer process tonight. If you could do a little craft beer 101 and tell me what an IPA is and what qualifies as an IPA and what does it mean if it's a double or triple? I don't really get that.
Yeah, no problem.
Can you explain?
So an IPA is an India Pale Ale. It's just a style of beer. You use particular kinds of ingredients within it. So you just shorten India Pale Ale to IPA just to make life a little easier. The difference between a standard IPA, double IPA, and triple IPA are how much hops are used within it, and also the brewing process itself. It takes longer to make double and triple IPAs, and it actually boosts the flavor, changes it up a little bit, and also adds that alcohol content as a result of all the different brewing processes and the ingredients that are added in.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, okay. No problem.
Thank you. I've seen an English PA. What is an English?
English ingredients. So, you know, there's India Pale Ales, there's English Pale Ales, there's American Pale Ales.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch of different variations. It all depends on the ingredients that you're using. You know, you've got in this area, you actually have a very traditional English brewery in Davidson's, which is up in Glens Falls.
Right.
So the beers that they produce, when you have them, they'll have a very different kind of flavor that you won't see, for the most part, in other breweries in the area. And it's because they do traditional English style, so they're using English products and stuff like that. It's very amazing how, you know, yes, it's hops, but it's a different kind of hops, what the variation that means in different beer flavoring.
Here's a real 101 question. What's the difference between beer and ale?
So it's like all fingers, all thumb, or how do you say it? All thumbs are fingers, but not all fingers are thumbs.
Okay.
Same. So everything is beer. So there's two types of beer in basically the world. There are ales and there are lagers. That's it. And then it all goes down from there and trees out. So an ale and a beer. Ale is a type of beer.
Okay.
But, you know, then you go underneath ale and it's, you know, what it falls underneath that dark ale, strong ale, so on and so forth. Same thing on the lager side. What kind of lager is it? And then it variates out through that through different styles. But in the grand scheme of beer, there's beer at the top. And then right underneath that, there's ales and lagers.
800-348-2551. Larry in Albany. Larry.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I'd like to hear you talk about the marketing of the craft beers and how art and language, vocabulary are used to draw people in and create a buzz. Mm-hmm. And for instance, like Grimm with all their metaphysical monikers. And how much of that do you think is smoke and mirrors to kind of get more price per can?
I'm sorry.
No, go right ahead. Go ahead.
It's actually the marketing of craft beer is actually a very good question and a very interesting topic at the moment, because here's what's happening in the craft beverage world right now. It's exploding. So there's new breweries and new labels and new designs coming up all the time. What are you going to do to make yourself stand out from everybody else? How do you get that shelf space? How do you get people to say, I need that, when you've never heard of it? So one of the things that at Schmaltz we're able to draw on is 20 years of community quality and shtick. So when I say shtick, I'm basically saying jokes. I'm saying humor. I'm saying pop culture references. That's something that we utilize to get people to notice the packaging, notice the beer that we have out there, and then give it a try. But behind that is the quality. Because one of the things that I think you're going to find is if you buy a beer that's just on, it's a funny name or it's a funny packaging, and you have it and the beer isn't good, that brewery has done themselves a disservice. Because now they're only going to get you to buy that package one time. I've done that. I am 100% guilty. I'm like, oh, that's really funny, or that's a really neat design. I want it. But they didn't have the beer behind it. You have a sip, and you're like, you know, I don't need to do this again.
Right.
We are really, really fortunate that the beer that is within the bottles that are a fantastic design, that are really whimsical, really funny, really pop culture-y, is really solid. You know, you opened up the show talking about Wishbone, which just won Best Double IPA in New York State thanks to Tap New York at Hunter Mountain. Well, all of our beers just keep winning awards. I mean, we submit them to different competitions across the country, and we keep winning gold medals. Our Messiah Nut Brown just won a gold medal at a World Beer Tasting, and, you know, Funky Jubilation just won another gold medal, and all of these just keep winning different medals and being rewarded on the flavor, the style, the recipe, everything like that. And then it's up to the creative half of the company to come up with, like, all right, so we've got this great beer. How do we get it into somebody's hand? Well, let's, you know, let's call it Funky Jubilation. Let's call it Hop Mana, like Mana from Heaven. You know, Slingshot, American Craft Lager. It's our shot at the big boys making lagers across the area.
800-348-255, 1-800-348-255. This is Vox Pop. It's Beer on Food Friday. More calls in a moment.
Support for WMC comes from Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. The Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs, giving children the education and tools for the challenges of an ever-changing world. WaldorfSaratoga.org. Pekarsky's, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. Family-owned since 1948. Offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst. And Smoked Meats, home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days. Pekarsky's.com. And Foxgloves Garden Gloves. Made with performance sport materials designed for gardening, birding, hiking, and many outdoor activities. Machine washable. Foxgloves.com.
800-348-255, 1-800-348-255. The big question, cans versus bottles.
Ah, good question. So what's funny, we're actually in the midst of having a canning line brought in to the brewery. So we will be going from traditionally just doing bottles and kegs to also doing some canning. So the big reason that a lot of people tend to shy away from cans is they say, it gives a more metallic taste to it. Yeah, sometimes. If it's low quality cans, if the beer isn't flavorful enough to combat that, okay. But there's nothing that stops you from putting that into a cup.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we have found that you do that, it's going to take away 99% of that metal flavor. You know, the reason you do bottles is, you know, A, looks great, really does. But they're great to pour. It really stores the beer well. But the big enemy of beer is light. So canning actually can help preserve beer even a little bit longer, even though it might not be as solid of a seal.
That's why we have the dark bottles. It keeps the light out better.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that there's a reason that bottles are this dark brown. I mean, it's on purpose. It's not just, well, let's just try and see what happens.
800-348-2551. Let's go to Dave in Ashburnham. Dave?
Hi.
Hi.
I enjoy a nice craft beer, a nice IPA, but I'm not in it for the alcohol content, believe it or not. I mean, some people may disagree, but anyway, you know, like I go out for to a restaurant, and if I have two of those, it's like having four Budweisers.
Yeah.
So what I'm wondering, my question is, can you make a full-bodied, good-tasting IPA or double IPA with an alcohol content that's, you know, say 5%?
So this gets back into the discussion we had earlier about session. So the whole session movement is to absolutely do that. It's to bring down the ABV of the beer but still retain the flavors and the full-bodiness of a craft beer. So when you're out and about, take a look and try to find things that say session IPA or session double IPA or anything like that, that'll have a little bit of a lower alcohol content. And actually, in general, you're starting to see craft brewers look at ways to decrease ABV in the beer so that people can have a little bit more of them. You can enjoy, you know, rather than maybe one or two, maybe three to four. And not, you know, not feel unsafe or not feel too intoxicated.
But now, like you did say, your session double IPA was still 8%.
Yeah. So the that session double IPA, we're using the word session more to talk about the smoothness of it rather than the alcohol content within it.
Okay. So, and what, how is the session process different?
It's just, it's a little bit of a different process to keep the alcohol content a little bit lower. It's in the filtration, it's in the fermentation of everything. Just making sure that the alcohol content doesn't get too high within it.
So it would change the taste a bit.
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay. So I guess the ones that I have tried, they do have it. They're not bad, but they do have a, not quite the same body as their regular brew. So anyway, okay. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Any tips for the growler lover?
A lot of
the beer stores now have growler setups.
Absolutely. Yeah. Drink it within a couple of, it depends on how often. If you open it right away, if you get it, you fill it there and you open it at home right away, you got about 3-4 days to really get into it.
Yeah.
It can last a little bit longer, but you're starting to get flat. You're going to start get some different flavor notes onto it. But if you don't open it, it can last, you know, about 30 days before without opening it.
Yeah.
So if you fill it and you seal it and you put it in the fridge or in a cellar or something like that, you got about 30 days in order to drink it. But, you know, it's actually something I really like doing. I have a number of growlers in my house, much to my wife's chagrin.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great way to kind of sample a bunch of different beers, because one of the things you'll find in the craft beer is not everything gets bottled. The Hanukkah in July that we sampled earlier, that doesn't come in bottles. Mm-hmm. That's only on draft. So if you wanted to have some and bring it home, you have to have a growler. You've got to go find a place that has a growler station that has it on tap and have it filled up. I mean, there's a lot of beers that are like that, especially locally.
800-348-2551. Let's talk to Matt in Boston Spa. He's a fan of yours.
Hey.
Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of Schmaltz for a long time. Actually, my father, who lives in Buffalo, I turned him on to it. He was able to find some at a good beverage center and loves it. Always has Hopman in his fridge when I come to visit. So,
fantastic.
Spreading the word as much as I can. I'm actually a home brewer, and I love beer, and would just love to hear kind of your story, how you kind of got started brewing. You know, was it on a homebrew level, and then you had a crazy idea to start a brewery, or kind of? I would love to just kind of hear your journey and how you did that. So,
yeah, my journey is going to be a little different. I'm actually not a brewer. I'm the marketing director at Schmaltz. I've actually never brewed. I've never done home brewing. But how I got started was I started to really get into the craft beers in the capital region of New York. And started the Adirondack Craft Beverage Trail while working at the Adirondack Regional Chamber of Commerce. And doing that kind of got into getting to know the different breweries and getting to know the process a little bit. And when this opportunity at Schmaltz came around, I absolutely jumped at it. But what's really interesting is every brewer that I know, any true brewer, started at home. They started home brewing with Mr. Beer and, you know, any other kit you can grab. But what's really cool about that is it gives you the opportunity to really hone your skills and your flavor palette and what do you like making and what mistakes are you going to make when you're doing the beer. And, you know, you can come up with some really unique stuff. In this day and age and within the capital region of New York and New York in general, the atmosphere is so welcoming to any kind of craft brewery or craft beverage maker of any kind that it's a great time. That if it's something you've always wanted to look at, it's a good time to get into it. Last year, we partnered up with the Schenectady County Community College and the Workforce Investment Board to actually develop a program through the college where people can go through a 15-week program to do a lesson on how to be a brewer. And how we come into play there is they actually come to our brewery to learn. We'll put them through the process. We'll have you work with our head brewer. But at the same time, there is some classroom lessons where you'll learn the ins and outs from it from a paperwork standpoint. Because on top of just brewing the beer, which is great, there's a lot of stuff you have to pay attention to with state liquor authority and label design and formulas and stuff like that, because what you're making on a homebrew system, the formulas and the proportions are very, very different when you're moving up into the larger tanks and stuff like that. So making sure that your equations are okay so that the beer stays what you want it to be.
Right.
If that's something you're ever interested in, I would absolutely get in touch with the Schenectady County Community College or give us a call and we can give you more information.
Fantastic. Maybe I need a second career then.
Thank you very much. Vox Pop on WAMC in Hudson. It's Hedvig.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good.
Great. Listen, I have a question about ingredients, but first I just wanted to tell you that when I was out in California, I was actually living in Arcata in Humboldt County around 2001 or two. I don't know when it was. And it was a little pizza place I used to go into there, and I saw a sign, a little poster up on the wall. This with a picture of beer, real nice, pretty poster, and it says Hebrew, the chosen beer.
Yep.
And I thought it was so funny and so irreverent, and I loved it. It made me laugh. And then I came back a few days later, it was gone. I said, "Where's the Hebrew sign?" He said, "Oh, well, somebody thought it was offensive. We had to take it down."
Yeah.
So I remember that was great.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was who you're talking about? That same
company? Yeah, that same company. So Hebrew is a line of beers under the Schmaltz umbrella. So we started with that beer. And now we've evolved into Schmaltz.
Very funny. That's great. I love it. Anyhow, I wanted to know about ingredients. Now, I'm really interested in ingredients because, one, I'm very chemically sensitive, and, two, I've got a lot of, like, shtick on, you know, on environmental aspects and so forth. So I wonder how much the consideration of pesticide residues comes in. I know you're very picky about your water, and it's a big deal. So I'm wondering how much you try to avoid grains that have, or hops, you know, that might have pesticide residues.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you do organic, or how about GMOs?
Right.
Is there any effort to avoid those?
So, you know, you're right on the money that we're very picky about our water, making sure that that is as pure as possible when we're putting it into it. And really any craft beverage maker needs to do that. That's the number one thing you have to have is good water. If you don't have that, you're already done. But we're just as picky with our ingredients. We always used high quality ingredients from trusted sources that we're purchasing it from to make sure that the beer that we have is as pure and as on point as we need it to be. And to take it a step further, we actually have a in-house biologist who actually takes samples of each run of beer that we do and is checking it for different microbes and different ingredients that could damage the beer, could make it, could have it turn a different way, so that when we're putting it out, it is as pure and as fresh as we need it to be when it hits the market.
Right. So what about GMOs, which are usually high pesticide, and organic or not organically raised grains?
As far as I know, I don't know what we do from an organic standpoint. That's more of where the brewers come in. They're really the ones in charge of getting that. But I know that one of their top priorities is making sure that the grains that we get in are nice and clean. There's no pesticides within them. So that when they put it into the brew kettles, you know, it's not something you have to worry about at the end result.
Right. Well, if there are no pesticides in them, that's the whole point of organic, you know, so that's the main thing. So that is an issue with your microbrews and with you, right? That's great. I'm glad to hear that.
Thank you very much.
And I'd also love it if you would get into ShopRite, which is where I like to shop. It's a great store. You can get anything there, and they do have quite a few microbrewery products in there.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling. How do you get into the supermarkets? We were talking about it before the show. These supermarkets have a wide variety now.
So it's, you know, you really work through your distributors in your given territory. I mean, we're distributed right now into over 35 states across the country. So in each market, we work with a distributor or a wholesaler to help us get out into these areas. But we also have dedicated salespeople across the country that, you know, they're trying to make the connections and find ways that we can get into some of these other locations. But, it's a partnership. You got to make sure that your distributor knows what your products are. They believe in your products. We're very lucky and fortunate that, ours do. And then it's just making sure, working different angles, working together to get in front of the different craft beer buyers for each market.
The poster in California, were you surprised that you're known out there?
No, not at all. I mean, we started there.
Yeah.
The business started in San Francisco. Our owner, Jeremy Cowan, that's where he started it, in his kitchen, selling it out of the back of his car. That's where it all started. And then, we've progressed across the country to when it came to New York, and Jeremy was living in New York City, and we were actually doing what's called contract brewing, which is we have the ingredients, we have the recipes, but we don't have a facility. And we would rent out facility here in Saratoga Springs at Old Saratoga Brewing. And then 3 years ago, we opened our own brewery. But we've always maintained that national distribution, starting in California and then, like I said, spiraling out. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's very interesting that this little brewery at Exit 10 off in Clifton Park off the Northway is known across the country and thought of very highly.
Let's talk to Carrie in Plainfield. Carrie.
Hi, interesting show. Quick question. I have a friend that brings me a craft beer that's brewed fairly locally. It's in Waterbury, Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Heady Topper.
Yes.
And I've heard from others, and I think it's a great beer, and I've heard from others that it's rated number one in the world.
Yep.
Is there any truth to that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it depends on the brewery, beer publication that you're looking at or either printed or online. But, yeah, that beer is very much considered one of the top beers in the world, almost on every publication. I would say it's probably within the top 10 in any publication that's being out there right now.
That's what I understand, and it's very limited production, I believe.
Very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Let's move on to Jimmy and Rhinebeck. Jimmy.
Hey, great show. I was curious about if the Canadians are making any microbrews or craft beers. And one other quick question, does Schmaltz, do they do like what a Stone does, like the Sell-By or the Talisman from Samuel Adams?
First the Canadian one. I mean, there are craft breweries in Canada. I don't know exactly what they're doing in terms of number of them or how their sales are going, but I do know that there's a couple up in that area that are doing fine. The second question about Stone. Now, are you talking about the Best Buy,
the Sell By?
Yeah. That's their own line of beer where they're telling you to drink the beer by this certain day because, and again, it comes down to that the beer is settling. The beer is changing itself within the bottle. So they're saying, this is when it'll be at peak. We don't do anything like that. The only thing that we do is we do recommend that if you do like a certain beer that we have, grab another bottle of it and put it in a dry, dark, cool place and let it just sit there for a while. And you'd be amazed as to what happens if you had that beer and then you opened a fresh one that we had just bottled either that week or that month. And it'd be the same exact recipe, but it'll taste completely different.
Wow, that's awesome. See, I collect the bottles and the cans, so
yeah.
It makes it kind of unique.
Absolutely.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We are just about out of time. I'd like to thank our guest, Greg Chenise, for stopping by today. Greg is the marketing director with the Schmaltz Brewing Company in Clifton Park, New York. Any more information you'd like to pass along in the last 30 seconds? What's coming up at Schmaltz?
We actually have a high school reunion party coming up on August 26th at the brewery, which is right off exit 10 of the Northway, right off of Van Patten Road. We're going to be releasing our reunion 2016 ale at that party, but also we'll be raising funds with this beer, which we've done over the last 6 years for the Myeloma and Bone Cancer Research Institute.
It's a great cause.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that we've been able to raise over $130,000 for over the last 6 years of doing this. So if you want to come up, doors open at 4 p.m. We're going to have a lot of fun there. Bring your old high school friends, people you haven't seen in a while.
Thank you very much. Support for WAMC comes from the Berkshire Co-op Market in Great Barrington. Offering organic and local groceries, working to build a healthy and sustainable community, Berkshire.coop. Uncle Sam's All-American Chocolate Factory, offering over 100 chocolates, including truffles, buttercrunch, and sea-salted caramels, located on Albany Street in Schenectady and Newton Plaza, Loudonville. UncleSamsCandy.com, Hanford Mills Museum, East Meredith, New York, presenting the exhibit Rural Genius, the story of three local inventors and rural ingenuity, 10 miles from Oneonta, hanfordmills.org. Thanks again for joining us today on Vox Pop. Our engineer, Rob Chacon, Barb King took your calls. Producer is Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Brian Shields. Ray Graff is back next week. And on Monday, Alan in the chair with Medical Monday. Stay tuned now for a news update.